meeting is now being recorded.
Let's go. Thank you, hello, Jean-Baptiste speaking. Welcome to RDS with 2 plenary call 33, face-to-face meeting 4. This is day 2, taking place on 11 December 2018 at 8 UTC. Attending the call today, we have Lily San, Dimitri Bilyavsky, Alan Greenberg, Volker Grayman, Susan Kawaguchi, Chris Despain, Eric Ama, Stephanie Burr, and Carlton Samuels, and Dimitri Bilyavsky. For Eigenorg, we have Jackie Treiber, Nigar Fazinia, and myself. We have no observers currently in the room, and no apologies. Today's call is being recorded. May I please remind you to state your name before speaking. I will turn the call over to Alan. Thank you.
Thank you. First thing I'd like to do today is to review a little bit about yesterday and with a particular focus for identifying deliverables that we need to complete pretty much before the end of today so that we can review them tomorrow and make sure we're all clean. And if we can have the slide on those. Okay. So operational input on recommendations will be provided by ICANN.org, we hope sooner rather than later. We decided that a number of recommendations need to be reworded. I'd like to go through those one by one and make sure we have someone assigned to take responsibility for it. And if, as I go through the number, if Jean-Baptiste can remind us what it is. 4.2.
So 4.2, it's for Volker and Alan to work on rewarding the recommendation and add some metrics in for measurability and success for implementation.
What is the subject of 4.2? For those of us who don't have any memory.
Recommendation 4.2 is the ICANN board should direct ICANN contractual compliance to look for patterns of failure to validate and verify RDS with data as required by the RAA. When such a pattern is detected, an audit should be initiated to check if the registrar follows RDS contractual obligations and consensus policies. Sanctions should be applied if significant deficiencies in RDS.
All right. I think Volker said he would try to put a hand on that one, and I would certainly work with him, and I guess Susan also has to sign off on it. So I think that one primarily sits in Volker's area since he has to sell it.
The next one is CM1. Check. Reward recommendation so that it does not say, tell you the recommendation again. So recommendation CM.1. The ICANN board should negotiate contractual terms or initiate a GNSO PDP to require that GTLD domain names suspended due to RDS contact data, which the registrar knows to be incorrect and that remains incorrect until the registration is due for deletion. Should be treated as follows. One, the RDS with record should include a notation that the domain name is suspended due to incorrect data, and second, domain names with this notation should not be unsuspended without correcting the data.
Okay. That one, essentially, we want to get remove the term, the board should negotiate terms and relate it closer to the way the process would work, if indeed it happens. I'll take that one.
Then recommendation CM.2. This one is, the ICANN board should direct ICANN organization to assess grandfathered domain names to determine if information is missing from the RDS who is registered. If 10 to 15% of domain names are found to lack data in the registrant field, then the ICANN board should initiate action intended to ensure that all GTLD domain names adhere to the same registration data collection requirements within 12 months.
Okay, that one is Volker, and I to reword with the intent of saying post-EPDP, in whatever words we need to say that in, there must be specific contact. There must be some contact information, and we need to thresh it to decide whether it's a or a set of or whatever. And we'll try to do that at lunch hour today. Thank you.
So just in order, CM3, which was the ICANN board should direct ICANN organization to review the RDS records of GTLD domain names sampled by IRS for each region to determine whether lack of knowledge of RDS, inaccuracy, reporting tools, or other critical factors are responsible for low RDS inaccuracy in some regions.
We're deleting that one.
Yes. Deleted, and it was also mentioned to add this as a more targeted outreach in the relevant recommendation. Existence of IRS is not relevant in the future, and this item will be moved under outreach.
And sadly, that's mine also.
All right. Next one is recommendation CM.4. This recommendation is the ICANN board should direct ICANN organization to publicize and encourage use of the bulk WHOIS inaccuracy reporting tool or any successor tool.
And I don't recall who we said is taking custody of that or exactly what we're doing with it, Susan.
So the action item was for you, Alan, to write to ICANN or compliance and negotiate language to be added to relevant pages. If successful, recommendation will be deleted.
If I volunteer for anything today, someone tell me stop. Okay, that, in any case, that's a right to ICANN org. That's not a, that's not something we can settle today.
Next one is R10.1. So this recommendation is the board should monitor the implementation of the PPSIA in the event that the PPSIA policy does not become operational by 31st December 2019. The ICANN board should propose an amendment to the RAA that privacy proxy providers affiliated with registrars shall verify and validate underlying customer information provided to them in the same way as registrars are required to verify and validate other registration data. This one, recommendation stands, but need to make sure wording is clearer. And there were comments on this recommendation, and it was written that as we are reviewing these documents, we will verify that the wording is crystal clear, no other action is necessary.
I think that one fell on Volker. Clearly, we're the important people.
Pen holders, you guys. Look at that.
My pen is worn out. All right.
And talking about Volcker, there is one other recommendation where he volunteered.
he doesn't remember that either.
That's not there, sorry, that's recommendation 4.1. And recommendation 4.1 was the ICANN board should direct ICANN contractual compliance to proactively monitor and enforce RDS with data accuracy requirements to look for and address systemic issues. A risk-based approach should be executed to assess and understand inaccuracy issues and then take the appropriate actions to mitigate them. And on this recommendation, Volker had a volunteer to provide language to update recommendation. And also, based on the comments, clarify that that's things are not concern. Yeah, that was based on RSG and NCSG comments. Yeah.
Okay, so we'll take Benjamin here.
And finally, recommendation R5.1. recommendation. Recommendation R5.1, the ICANN board should direct the ICANN organization to look for potentially anomalous ARS results. Example given, 40% of ARS generated tickets closed with no actions because the RDS with record changed between the time the ARS report was generated and the registration was reviewed by ICANN contractual compliance to determine the underlying cause and take appropriate action to reduce anomalies. On this one, the action item was to double check whether the recommendation, that was for us. That was Catherine to phrase a reply to RRSG comment. Recommendation needs to be reworked. It is conceivable that the recommendation could be removed or replaced with a different one. Consider changing the recommendation to say ARS or some sort of accuracy reporting system must continue even post-GDPR because the then users of the data will want accuracy of data available to them. There must be some level of contactability, accuracy of the data, and we must consider the resources of compliance. And there was another action item for us to double check whether the recommendation numbering was in eventual comment was in response to recommendations 5 to 9 and adjust as needed.
All right. On note, Catherine has now joined us. I'm a bit worried that we've taken on an awful lot that really has to be done today if we're going to ratify it tomorrow. So we may want to try to allow an hour or so today that we can spend time working on these things. And those of us who nominally volunteered can try to get a few other people involved. If a few people are involved in the drafting, there's more chance there'll be minimal discussion on it tomorrow when we have to ratify. So let's look at the schedule as we're going through, try to save a bit of time and open up a window to do that. Day two objectives, continue working on it with the added proviso now of trying to find a bit of spare time. And tomorrow is our last day, so hopefully today we will have tackled any of the really hard issues or at least set them up so we can have discussion tomorrow. The intent is to have finished the full review and know where we're going by the end of tomorrow morning to leave the afternoon for either sightseeing or making sure that we really understand where where we're going. We must make sure that we have finalized and consensus calls on all recommendations well prior to Christmas, which doesn't give us an awful lot of days between now and then. And we'll be using a good part of January to clean up the report. And for those who weren't here at the beginning yesterday, our report as much as possible, remove redundancy so people who actually go to the trouble of reading our report are not bored out of their minds and don't feel that we've just padded it by adding language. Move as much to appendices as makes sense so the report proper is of a reasonable length. Comments, questions before we proceed with the work? Do we want to stay with the schedule or go back to the section that we missed yesterday because of Carlton's lack of presence? Let's clean up yesterday and do that one.
All right, so on single risk policy, there were two comments on the section, one from RRSG and the other one from NCSG. First one is, findings of the RDS WIS 2 review team on recommendation 2 are very similar to the ones of the first review team, and we wonder why this recommendation is assessed as fully implemented. Moreover, ICANN board has not created a single WIS policy document, therefore this recommendation should only appear as partially implemented. Second comment is the following. The relevant question that the review team appeared to ask is, why did all these efforts fail? In order to determine why ICANN continually fails to come up with a holistic WIS policy, perhaps an examination of the various efforts is overdue. It is a pity the review team did not recommend an independent expert review of why these various policy procedures failed.
All right. I'll note that the registrar comment says we come to the same conclusion, but we did not actually make a recommendation. So we're not asking anything to be done. We do note, ICANN did not create a document in the traditional sense. They created a web page with hyperlinks in it, which perhaps one can call a document or in this year, or perhaps one can't. But we deemed it to be as effective as could be done given the world we're living in right now. The ICANN board did charter a group to create a new policy. It floundered for 2 years and has since been dissolved. So I'm willing to stand by it. Now, the question of whether we should deem that to be partial because the long-term issue didn't come to fruition. The position we've taken on things like policy, privacy proxy is all the work, or IDN, all the work was done. Therefore, we said it was completed, even though we don't have the benefits of the product. So I could live with changing it to partially completed, but I'm happy to leave it. What do other people think, Carlton?
Thank you, Carlton. For the record, you've said pretty much most of what I wanted to say about it in response to the first comment. The overall the provision was, if you accept that there's a web page with hyperlinks constitute a document, then there is a document, and that we agreed on that. And as a matter of fact, the argument was that that is probably, since we do most of this thing online, that was probably the most effective way to create a So I would say that's my answer to the first one. The second question was whether or not we had simply regurgitated what was said in the first review. Again, I would say no, because we didn't make a recommendation here. To the NCSG question, I quite agree that, well, first of all, it recognizes that there has been some changes. What they're saying is that it's not holistic, and we agree on that. But I would then point out that the recommendation, the recognition that there was not a holistic change was what led to the EWG, and the EWG recommended a holistic framework for updating OIS policy, and then the deliberate set of actions that were supposed to come afterwards, that, you know, they were supposed to initiate the PDPs, and the PDP was initiated, but it failed, we know. So in that sense, it might be useful for us to recognize that the framework was actually charted, but the results of the action are still not complete. And that's what, that would be my answer to it.
I'll also note that the merits of doing a sociological study to understand why we have not been able to do better over the last couple of decades, I'm not sure has enough merit to warrant doing that. We may have an opposition to that. I'll give you a chance. You can put your hand down. I've seen it. And given that the GDPR has overtaken us and has changed the dynamic somewhat, I feel comfortable in what we have recommended. Stephanie and then Volker.
Stephanie Perrin, for the record. You don't need a full sociological analysis to understand the root conditions that are causing failure in policy development processes time after time after time. First point, we didn't actually start as a de novo review in the EWG. Every now and then we say that, but we didn't actually do started with use cases. So that's not de novo. That's taking status quo and working from that. Second point, I understand that GDPR and its fines are the driving force nowadays, but nothing has changed in terms of the law since the directive and the relevant European law. So this was not new, and it hasn't been new in the who is discussions that we've been having since about 2003, really. So I think Chuck Gomes came close one time in the RDS discussion saying that it was very difficult to make progress when some of the constituents of the working group were actually being paid as lawyers to represent their client interests. So you're basically in a courtroom situation. You are not in a compromise situation, and you're running a compromise policy development process. Now, that's not a sociological review. That is a pragmatic kind of discussion, such as one has in government when one is as a multi-stakeholders in a room, to say, here are the ground rules, guys. You have to be ready to compromise, and we're going to cut you off from representing your client positions after X interventions or something. But you at least have to do a stakeholder analysis and say, right, this corner is doing this, that corner is doing that, for all good reasons, and then figure out how you move forward. Because we keep doing, and we're doing it again, on the EPDP, you know. Either we give up doing this and we have a failure of the multi-stakeholder process, or we figure out a way to deal with it. That's what that point is about. Possibly I didn't elaborate enough in the comment, but I don't think it requires a sociological review.
to be clear, are you making a recommendation to change what we are doing?
It would be very nice if we could acknowledge this fundamental problem, that it would be a useful contribution to the literature on why WHO is fails here at ICANN, because we keep glossing over as if, oh, well, it's going to work the next time. No.
Catherine. Sorry, Volker was next.
Yes, just with regard to the RSG comment. This is not to say that we're not happy that about all the steps that have been accomplished in the past. It's just that even having all the policies that deal with two on one single web page still means that the registrant or a registrar trying to learn the ropes when he's starting off has to figure out how these puzzle pieces all fit together and where WHO is policy is in every single policy. So while we acknowledge that creating a single policy document would probably be very difficult because that would be requiring a different policy to be created that incorporates all this existing policy into it and those parts, it might be helpful if a summary document could be created down the road. That was the impression of the author of that, and that was supported by a lot of members of the RSG. That is not to say that we're not happy with the status quo, and we do not necessarily require a recommendation in the future. It's just something that we would like to see down the road as a suggestion for ICANN to create, so maybe something that we could point out in our reasoning why we are not recommendation that we still would suggest or would find it helpful if ICANN created a document that summarizes all policies, that puts all policies related to WHO is into one place. Well, and while this would not be a policy, it would point to the policies where every single section that's referenced in that document originates from, and that would be updated whenever there's a change to WHO's policy, so that there would be a true one-document solution. But like I said, we're happy with the no recommendation.
Thank you, Volker. My recollection is we basically said that we said this did, although they gathered things together, it did not end up with something which would allow a novice to quickly assimilate it, but we did not believe that was in fact practical or possible to do. So I think in the report we acknowledged that had that problem, a significant problem, but we didn't see a practical way forward to address it. And we should perhaps make sure that we are saying that clearly in case we aren't. But I agree with the intent, and I think we all agreed with that intent. And that was the reason why my original position was we have not implemented this at all. Catherine.
Yes, thank you, Alan. Catherine, for the record. Just picking up on Stephanie's point, I think we all agree today, in fact, that the GNS currently do not work the way they need to work in order to deliver the actual policy, especially not in the time frames that are necessary to respect. And I'm not sure that this is the best place to put this sort of meta comment, because here we're, as Alan and Calvin were just pointing out, we're talking more about the organizational aspects of putting everything in one place, making it accessible, whereas your point is more about how do we get to actually developing the policy. And what we had agreed yesterday, as I recollect, is that we would add some language at another more fitting place in the report to basically welcome the efforts that Chris was reporting about at the level of the GNSO and the board to reflect on how policy processes can be possibly reformed in such a way as to ensure that something comes out of them in a reasonable amount of time. So maybe that would be one place. I'm not sure whether we have a volunteer, but if you would want to join that effort, of course, that would be great.
Thank you. Not clear exactly where that will go, but I tend to agree it doesn't fit here. Where the requirement was not to write a policy, but to write a document.
Yeah, if I may respond to that comment, I'm not sure that the GNSO policy development process is broken. There was a lot of really good work last year on, you know, some of the threats to it. It might be that, you know, what I'm really talking about is we're not getting anywhere near to a holistic policy here because we don't start in the right place repeatedly. And I think that could fit here. The whole multi-stakeholder challenges as we get bigger and more global and all the rest of it, and, you know, it affects the GAC as well with the number of members now. That's a different problem, yeah.
Erica?
Eric, I agree with Stephanie. I believe the discussion about how the GNSO and the coordination between GNSO and board and communities is working and is changing and is getting more appropriate, I don't believe it's a place to mention this year. There's no reason for this. But I think so it's true. Somewhere we should mention that that WHOIS is an excellent example to observe why the, and I wouldn't go too much into that, why the current structure, how the multi-stakeholder system is working is maybe not appropriate any longer. And we can say this even in more polite and diplomatic terms, because it is an example, and I think we would fail if we wouldn't mention it. And I mean, just imagine, you know, we do a review about a period, and in the meantime, the whole system changes. And so I think there is something which we can reflect on, and we should definitely say. I don't know about the most appropriate places for it, maybe in the introduction, or in, maybe Alan, you know, maybe it could be like a kind of policy observation and done at very early without making recommendation to it, because I'm not sure. It's a place to make recommendation in this report about it.
I would tend to argue that the failure to reach a single WHO is policy isn't a bad place to comment on it, because, you know, quite frankly, strategically, if you have very few resources and you've got 6 or 7 different processes going on, like thick WHO is, and you may just divide your resources and say, right, well, we'll go ahead and make sure that thick WHO is happens, and then the other stuff is irrelevant because it's already there. Or, you know, privacy proxy, for instance. Everybody went to privacy proxy. So these are important aspects of the failure to reach a complete, but it then surfaces the larger issue, which you leave parked.
I would suggest, however, that if we put it in this section, it gets lost. There is no recommendation coming out of it. The section will be skipped over. I think putting this somewhere near the beginning and a reference to it in the executive summary is probably a better way to make sure it doesn't get lost.
I certainly wouldn't. It has to be in the executive summary, but that doesn't mean that this isn't the place to anchor it.
It's Carlton for the record. I agree with Stephanie and as well that it is an opportunity to reflect on the larger issue. I agree with Erica that the place to put it is not with this section, but to put it further ahead. I agree with Alan that we need to mention it in the executive summary. Where we anchor it, though, at the larger picture, it will emerge over the period that why we put it in this preamble, but there's no specific place in the recommendations for it. So we might refer to it along as we go along.
All right. We need to move on. I'd like to ask Jackie to take responsibility for working with me ultimately in finding a place to put it and doing the final drafting. And I'd like to ask Stephanie and anyone else who would like to contribute to it to give me a set of talking points that we want to reference in this thing. And I think I said Carl here to add to that or work with Stephanie. I think we're done. Let's go back to the regular agenda then, and we are on common interface. Volker. Volker's section and Jean-Baptiste's. summary.
So recap 7.1 was the following. The ICANN board should direct the ICANN organization to define metrics or SLAs to be tracked and evaluated to determine consistency of results of queries and use of any common interface, existing or future, used to provide one-stop access to registration data across all GTLDs and registrars resellers. Specific metrics that should be tracked for any such common interface include how often are RDS, who is fields written blank, how often is data displayed inconsistently for the same domain name overall and per GTLD, how often not return any results overall and per GTLD, what are the causes for the above results. So here we have three supporting comments from RSG, OSG, and ALAC. And ALAC adds that they support it, particularly when ICANN policies on registrant data are finalized. Yeah. And there are two other comments. So one from the business constituency. Whois portal cannot be counted as a reliable source of Whois. It seems that ICANN efforts with respect to GDPR have broken aspects of the agreed to functions purpose of the portal. We again refer ICANN to the APWG and M3AAWG survey, where investigators, either in survey responses or through submitted comments, identify prominent pain points and emphasize the need to restore timely access to complete WIS data for legitimate purposes. Seem to address this in their recommendations. Do you want to react to that before I move to the next one? All right. And last comment is from NTSG. Given the state of flux of the data returned in response to queries, perhaps defining metrics is a low priority at this moment. We recommend dropping this one.
All right, let's go back and go through them one by one. Okay, I don't think we need to comment on supports. The ALAC comment, we did discuss, and we came to the conclusion that at this point, there is data available and lawfully available that the portal is not delivering, and we believe that that needs to be rectified and not wait things to change. The portal may well have to change going forward, but not delivering data currently implies broken, and I think, well, I certainly stand by the current request to do this in the shorter term. And of course, by the as has been pointed out, we're looking at starting this in January 2020. It's not going to happen today anyway. I'd like to think the dust has settled a bit by January 2020, but I'm not bullish, so I won't claim it what it might be. So I think that one's an easy one to answer. Next page. I think the first half of the business constituency is saying correct, that they're agreeing, and the last half is saying we must restore access to lawful access, and that's an EPDP issue and not something on our table. Any further comments on that one? And on NCSG, they may be right that establishing the metrics are not the highest priority. And if we wanted to give this a split priority of fix the problem, high priority, establish metrics, medium priority, I suppose we could. I don't think we split priorities on any other recommendation. We can certainly mention that in the implementation notes, and perhaps that that is warranted, that we can mention in the implementation notes the operating properly is a high priority. Metrics and things like that might well be a lower priority. Comments, anyone?
Okay. It's Carlton for the record, Alan. While I agree about operation and as a practical matter it would work out, I think fixing the problem, metrics tells you if the problem is fixed or not. So to me, it's the first one that really matters, and that should be high priority, fixing the problem. If you measure it, you manage it. That's something I know from day one. So you fix the problem. The way to show the problem is fixed is that you've got to go in and measure it. And if you don't see more blank fields coming up, then you know the problem is fixed. But not to see the blank fields,
I disagree. Before May, blank fields meant it was not working properly.
Right
now, blank fields in some cases means it's working quite properly. They are asking contracted parties for data. The contracted parties saying under GDPR, I'm not going to give you any data. And that's perfectly legitimate, having blank fields or fields saying redacted. They vary depending on how they're presented.
Okay, so when did the first one become the second? When did we know it?
Huh?
When did we know that we're just not missing data, it's people refusing to give data?
As soon as some of us looked at the results post May 25th.
I'm not so sure that.
No. Carlton, after one more sentence. When the portal was written, for a thick who is, the registry was the authoritative source.
I understand that.
Okay. Right now, for thick who is, the registry may or may not be the authoritative source because in certainly some cases, the registry is delivering zip and the registrar is still delivering data, but ICANN is not looking at the registrar. So it's accurately reporting what it was, but it's looking in the wrong place. That's the problem, Volker.
And you can also differentiate for the thin who is TLDs between did not get any data and the redacted data, because when it's the redacted data, it will say some variation of this data has been redacted for privacy purposes, whereas if they didn't get any data, the fields would be blank. Under the temporary specification, blank fields are not allowed. You have to have some default language that indicates that there has been some redaction has taken place. So there's a clear differentiation possible.
But that's a compliance issue if the contracted party is not delivering that properly. Susan.
Susan Kalaguchi, for the record. There are a lot of examples of registrars just not providing any. They're completely blank. What I see more of is registrars timing out the ICANN portal. And so, therefore, I'm assuming that they're either saying, no, I'm not going to respond to this, or you get 5 a day or something. But I've got lots of screenshots showing different registrars doing that. So, and my feeling is that this did not start on May 25th. It started closer to January and maybe prior to that. This is an ongoing problem.
But what I was talking about, in fact, is the next recommendation, not this one, the broken GDPR. The first review requested this as a definitive source for who is, without people having to play games to figure out what the right answer is. That is still valid, all the more so because it's more difficult to get the data now and more confusing. It used to be that for information that available through a registrar or registry, they matched. It was only an occasional timing or other issue where they didn't match. Now they don't, and it's important that we know that if we get data if we ask for data, we get the definitive data. So I believe this stands. And my discussion of the GDPR is the other recommendation. My apologies. So I think we stand by this one. Okay. Agreement? Next one.
Yeah, then. Can you please confirm what is the next step on this one then?
The next step is we respond to these comments, but we're not taking any action to change the recommendation.
All right. Next recommendation, 11.2, the ICANN board should direct the ICANN organization to continue to maintain the common interface to keep up to date with new policy developments or contractual changes for contracted parties to ensure that the common interface will display available RDS with output for each GTLD domain name, registration available from contracted parties, i.e. when they differ, both and registrar RDS with output could be shown in parallel. First comment from RASG, they believe that once the RDAP protocol is adopted by registries and registrars, ICANN should use RDAP as the underlying protocol to support the functionality of this interface and eventually work towards retiring the WHOIS protocol for this feature. ALAC supports recommendation, particularly when ICANN policies on registration data are finalized, and NCSG supports.
Registry, I always assumed that that was a given. The only problematic issue is we've named the page whois.icann.org. So we have a synonym of via rdap.whois.org or whatever. So I think that's in complete agreement and certainly in line with what we were imagining it would be done, even though we are not recommending what to change the name of the page to. History buff, I like keeping the old name. Volker?
Yes, that's an interesting recommendation because it also gives a bit of an indication of a timeline. I mean, it clearly indicates that this should not be implemented at the time when RDAP has not become the standard, yes? So this seems to suggest that ICANN should undertake this only after RDAP is implemented. Which I don't necessarily disagree with, it's just something for the group to consider.
Now, I don't think that says that. Maybe that's what they meant, but that certainly doesn't say it. It simply says that once the protocol is adopted, it should be used internally. I hope is common sense. So I think we're okay. ALAC comment is, again, we think it's important that it be done now because the lack of information makes it even more crucial than it was before. And NCSG supports. Done. Sorry, I'm just optimistic.
RRSG, there seems to be more risk associated with this recommendation than any resulting benefit. However, if ICANN plans to be the sole controller of this common interface and will be responsible, liable for putting the data to create it, presuming the data is being correctly displayed in the first place, meaning not PII, and they are comfortable with risk and their ability to comply with applicable laws, then RRSG agrees. RSG appreciates the apparent intent of ensuring that the common interface provides both registry and registrar RDS outputs, as these may currently differ under the attempts, thereby reducing the potential of confusion with the users of the interface.
The last sentence that makes Sorry, Carlton?
I think that was preempted, Your Honor, but it's the last sentence that makes sense. That's exactly what we were trying to say.
Well, and to the point, it's not necessarily only under the temp spec. The final recommendation may well allow registries and registrars to take a different position on what they're presenting. So I don't think there is any issue there at all. And BC?
WHOIS portal cannot be counted as a reliable source of WHOIS. It seems that ICANN efforts with respect to GDPR have broken aspects of the agreed functions purpose of the portal. We again refer ICANN to the EWG and M3AAWG survey, where investigators, either in survey responses or through submitted comments, identify prominent pain points and emphasize the need to restore timely access to complete WHOIS data for legitimate purposes. We ask the review team to address this in their recommendations.
I believe we are addressing the first part of not reliable sources of WHOIS, and the second point is, again, I'm afraid, EPDP, and we have no control over that. I'll point out in the previous one, the registrar one, they make a reference and is comfortable with the legal aspects of it. There is an issue of if ICANN, which has a presence in Europe, is displaying data that one might construe as not being legitimate, is there a legal liability? And I fully expect if there is one that we'll hear that from ICANN. And I don't believe it. But I don't believe there is actually one, because if, you know, for instance, a European registry does not display certain data of their choice, but the registrar chooses to support it, I don't think ICANN relaying it puts any liability on ICANN. Especially since if they are going to be providing multiple forms of the data, they'll have to identify where it came from. So, but if ICANN has a problem, ICANN will tell us. Any further comments? Go ahead.
I'm not sure that you can bet on ICANN telling us what their views on their risk are. Judging from the lack of transparency we've been experiencing on the EPDP, just a comment.
It is what it is. We can't change that. If ICANN says, if ICANN does not say, we see. Erica is asking for the first page. May we proceed? Next one, Jean-Baptiste.
So this is a recommendation 12.1. That's for so reviewing the effectiveness of the implementation of recommendation 12 to 14 should be deferred. The ICANN board should recommend that review be carried out by the next RDS review team after RDAP is implemented and the translation and transliteration of the registration data launches. We have two supporting comments from RSG and RYSG where they support the deferment. ALAC supports the deferral of review of effectiveness until the program is fully implemented. NCSG agrees with deferring further work on this topic. And finally, business constituency. A number of studies and a PDP were carried out for which ICANN should be acknowledged. However, the resultant policy and practices are not yet in place because they depend on the new RDSWIS system, which is not yet implemented. Using the AirDAP, recommend the team to reinforce this priority.
So everyone there is agreeing with what we're saying. The last one says, in saying that we should defer evaluation, we should encourage ICANN to do RDAP as soon as possible. I wouldn't object to that, although I feel given the need to RDAP for GDPR, it's a somewhat gratuitous statement for us to make, but I don't object if people feel strongly that we should. Any thoughts? Volker. Oh, sorry.
Dmitry, for the record, it seems rather strange to get the neutral comments from BC and recommendation to to implement RDAP as soon as possible. So, because one of the most significant reason to not implement RDAP is a lack of commercial feasibility.
I think there was a pressing need was seen to justify the cost until now, but it's now there. Volker, please go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure if we should agree that RDAP should be implemented as soon as possible. I think RDAP should be implemented as soon as practical and as soon as it provides an additional benefit. I think the main problem with implementing RDAP until now was that there was certain resistance to do that because it wouldn't confer any practical benefits until the policy elements of RDAP had also been decided, which there are many of that are still in flux, and that would require changes to the implementations down the line. So I would say that ICANN should ensure that as soon as RDAP provides a tangible benefit to the community, then it should immediately be implemented, not before that.
I would strongly disagree.
So you would say that RDAP should be implemented regardless of whether it confers a benefit or not?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying these recommendations alone justify, should have already done it. The work on IDN has been carried out. It cannot be implemented because of lack of RDAP. The need to use have internationalized registration data is an existing problem today. Admittedly, we do not have complex rule sets that will be needed under EPDP or under the GDPR, but we didn't need complex rule sets. We just needed the ability to display non-ASCII data. So I believe the belief within that it wasn't urgent at this point indicates the lack of understanding within ICANN of the need for internationalized registration data. So we can disagree on that, but at this point, RDAP is going to come about for whatever reason that are now presumed as being important. So I don't think changing the recommendation to encourage it is has any real relevance. We certainly, the report does not already say it. We can regret that the lack of RDAP has prevented this from actually being implemented in a more timely manner, but I don't think we need, to comment on the other aspect. I think ICANN has a lack of sensitivity, but that is what it is. So I don't think there's any change. I think we will respond appropriately And if Dimitri or someone would like to review the paper, the document, and say, you know, should we emphasize that we shouldn't have had to defer this evaluation because it should have been done by now, I have no problem saying that. Microphone.
I was saying, Alan, that's what the BC is suggesting in their last line. So maybe that's what we should do.
I tend to agree that we should point out, if we have not already, that it's unfortunate that this was deferred because of this. But the economic reality of it is, for most contracted parties, this was not something that was needed by them, and therefore it's understandable, still regrettable in my mind. Volker.
Well, just as an aside, before I get to my... we sell domain names all around the world in every country, even a lot of countries that would use it, and we have not had a single request from any customer or reseller that said, gee, it would be nice if I could use my own language. That just for the need. But for the general RRSG position on RDAP, we support the implementation of RDAP as soon as the implementation of RDAP means that we will not have to touch it again for the foreseeable future. If it is missing certain rule sets and policies. Then we're against implementing RDAP at that point. We want to do it once and be done with it.
I think believing the rule set will not change is living in a dream world. That's a personal opinion, though.
It's different than not having it.
Done.
Sorry, Alan, just wanted to reiterate the comment we've captured here is that no change is needed to this recommendation and that Dimitri will address the comments.
Dimitri will take a look at, as well as the rest of us, and if anyone wants to propose editing as we're going forward, then we can propose it. I should note, our intent is to put all of these sections on Google Docs. Everyone on the review team will have suggesting capabilities to suggest, either make comments or suggest potential edits. So it's not restricted to just the author or the prime leader of each team. And to the extent that everyone wants to read all what will still be close to 100 pages and is willing to do a careful edit. Back to you.
Well, on the agenda, then we arrive at the break. So, and we are 10 minutes in advance. So it's up to you whether you want to keep going.
Let's take the break.
All right.
Reconvene in 15 minutes, please. We are taking a break. We're 10 minutes early. We will make use of the time.
No thanks, but I can do this.
It's been helping in the middle. I
don't know if you're holding
that from me. That's rude.
That's you. That's you. No, you don't understand in a second.
Oh, you said the line from the wrist was wrong.
What? No.
Okay, I'm lost. Enlighten me.
not like that, but
I can
in the LA office?
You should. If you still working from your like that.
Dressed up like that?
Oh my God.
Well, this move should be better, right?
Wait, what is he doing? He's rotating his hips and sliding. That's a fancy move.
Jean
Matisse, I think he's picked someone.
Shall we restart? Shall we gather the troops and then restart?
Is there anyone here? Thank you, everyone. We restarted the recording.
May I have your attention, please, Jean-Baptiste?
Thank you, everyone. We restarted the recording, and at Alain's request, we'll go back to recommendation 12.1. And we'll give a few seconds to Alan.
Sorry, you got me in mid-cookie. NCSG had made a comment that our recommendation numbering was confusing. And although we carefully patterned it after the recommendation numbers in the last review, we never told anyone that. And thus it ended up being somewhat confusing. One of the potentially confusing issues is if you look at the IDN one, we call it recommendation 12.1. The IDN recommendations, in fact, were 12 through 14, and we simply took the starting number of the sequence and used that, and we did the same for the data accuracy ones, which are where there were four, I think. I'm happy to do that, and we'll define it that way. Alternately, we could have a more confusing numbering scheme of calling this one R12-14.1. That's not nearly as pleasing. So I think we'll simply say that when a recommendation is a follow-on to a previous recommendations or set of recommendations, we number it based on the first one in that set. The suite, very good word. And of course, for the recommendations that are not affiliated with the previous ones, we use a two-character code to identify the subject. So I think we'll keep. Sorry, Chris. So I think we'll keep what we have, but we'll this time make sure to go to some pains to explain it. Back to the regular.
I was thinking maybe we could explain the numbering in the methodology section of the executive summary.
Well, it's got to be done both in the executive summary and the regular. Back to you.
Thank you, Alan, and we are now on recommendation 15 to 16, plan and annual reports. Starting recommendation 15.1, the ICANN board should ensure that implementation of RDS WIS2 review team recommendations is based on best practice project management methodology, ensuring that plans and implementation reports clearly address progress, and applicable metrics and tracking tools are used for effectiveness and impact evaluation. No worries.
If you're going to speak, please use your microphone.
So, first comment from business constituency, while plans and reports were issued, their utility was limited and they failed to provide transparency into areas where implementation fell short. The disconnect between Iconoc's claim of full implementation for recommendation and the reality of what has transpired is substantial. Clearly, changes are needed in future implementation plans and reports. We suggest the team recommend planning and reporting activities in concert with the recommendations. Second comment is from ALAC, where they accept the recommendation, and the other one is from RYSG. RYSG supports the sentiment of this recommendation, but cautions that the implementation of the recommendation should not create new reporting burdens on contracted parties. Other comment from NCSG, would it prevent ICANN from continuing to drive the train into the brick wall at the end of the tunnel? A bit more discussion of risk scanning and management might improve this recommendation. We would therefore disagree with your comment on page 84 that the GDPR has no impact on this recommendation. If the WHOIS review teams are dictating the action plan for WHOIS improvement, then there must be flexibility to map projects to reality as time passes between reviews.
All right. Let's go back to the top. Oops. The BC comment raises the issue of the disconnect between ICANN's evaluation and ours, and we do make a comment somewhere. But I wonder if perhaps they're right and there should be some reference to that in this recommendation. In other words, this recommendation says use better methodology to plan and report. Do we?
It is in the bulk of the report. That's what recommended in the first overview of the report. If you're saying that we should put that in place here, make a specific reference, that I can agree with that. But this was actually a part of the overall recommendation. Better planning and better reporting.
Yes. I guess the point I'm raising is I believe, and maybe this review team believes, that there has been too much of a focus on being able to tick off the boxes and less on focusing whether the intent of the recommendation has been addressed.
Yes.
And the question is, should we actually put something? We say that in the report. Should there be something in a recommendation that alludes closer to that, which is what VC is saying, and I'm questioning whether maybe that is correct.
To me, if you want to do that, you see where we address the issue for more better data, we might append that recommendation, append this to that recommendation. We have some better, more and better data, and better planning and implementation with specific responsibility to look at outcomes rather than just the nominative ticking of boxes.
Where are we saying that currently? I don't believe we're saying it in an actionable recommendation.
No, we are not. And I'm saying that we could, the first recommendation where we talk about the need for better and more data, we can add this as a second part to it.
We can add it here. Or we can add it as a completely separate comment, separate recommendation that I can, in this review and in all reviews, needs to focus on ensuring the intent of the recommendation and not just, I'm not quite sure how to say it.
I mean, we have two options. We can do nothing. We can add it to here. We can create a new recommendation.
My view, we want to keep this report as tight as possible. So we have a choice. We can add it here and we can keep it a little tighter, or if we maximum eyeballing of the recommendation itself, we make it a separate one. So I think to the extent that you believe that it should be included but emphasized, we put it in a separate recommendation. I would believe right below the one about data.
Which one about data are we talking? Are you talking about? I'm not sure what recommendation you're talking about.
At the top of the list of recommendations, we had a recommendation, general recommendation for about improving the data collection.
Point me to a number, because I don't recall such a recommendation. Stephanie.
Stephanie Perrin, for the record, and I'm sure we came up with this recommendation, although I can't exactly remember the context of it, but reading it kind of naked as it stands in the list, it does sound kind of like MBA 101, you know? What exactly are we trying to say here? Are we saying, and this makes sense to me, that we should be tracking change over the at least 5-year period between reviews and monitoring and determining whether continuing on that course of action is a good idea, or are we asking for metrics and data on everything, which is expensive and unnecessary? I would hearken back to our risk-based management of all audits and data collection. Why is the question that leaps into my brain here? Why did we do this?
Are you finished?
Mm-hmm.
History here is, we had a far more specific recommendation, or maybe even a set of them, I don't remember. And they were very specific. And essentially, we were directing people on which sections to put in reports and micromanaging it at a level that some of us felt was inappropriate. Work at a level higher than that. This is what resulted from taking out the specific details. You can,
as so frequently happens.
You can relate to a certain EPDP discussion where we said let's remove the details and then we need more details. So that's the history. I'm not sure if Lily has anything to add. This was one of her sections, I think. My inclination, having listened to this, is I think we refine the recommendation a little bit and particularly put in something closer to the don't just check the boxes. I'm not quite sure how to word it properly, but a little bit more substance might be helpful, but not at the level of, you know, saying exactly what sections to put in a report. Certainly, we are saying track outcomes, not implementation. It's really important. Lily,
for the record, so the basic assessment of the implementation of the recommendation 15 and 16 of the WHO is One review team is that the report is generally activity-based, not outcome-based. There is no assessment about the progress has been made so far. So this recommendation was based on the assessment. We just want to have a reporting structure or even planning structure for this review team's recommendation.
How about if we add something to the effect of there must be a an increased focus on outcomes and effectiveness of the implementation? I mean, ICANN has said it's not their job to judge effectiveness, it's our job 5 years later. I think if you spend 5 years doing something and aren't evaluating on an ongoing basis, you're misusing your resources. You know, there always needs to be an opportunity to rethink what we're doing and making sure that we're not doing something by rote. And so I think adding a sentence to that effect of focusing on outcomes and effectiveness on a annual report basis would be a marked improvement. What do people think? Nagar?
Thank you, Alan. Nagar, for the record. The new bylaws dictate that there is a requirement for a new report to be done on an annual basis on the progress of implementation of review recommendations, which is something we've actually started. The first one is due to come out sometime early next year. So that report is supposed to be comprehensive, covering all of the specific reviews as well as the implementation of any review that has gone into implementation phase. My fear is that if we add a sentence like you're suggesting, we're going to have duplicative reports, one that's mandated by the bylaws and one that the recommendation, if drafted that way, will require us to produce. I'm not sure if there is value in doing both, as opposed to what is stated in the recommendation today, which is asking for better progress reporting and more clarity around implementation. I remember when we were first discussing this months ago when you guys were trying to draft this recommendation, there was concern, as Lily pointed out, that there was not a lot of clear reporting on the progress of implementation at the time the work was getting done. And one of the things we had discussed was we as staff are actually putting in place measures to do that progressively going forward on the implementation of the recommendations of all of the specific reviews. Not sure if an additional annual report on top of that is going to help provide the clarity that you're seeking, as opposed to the monthly and quarterly reports that we are going to be providing with much more detail on the progress of implementation of the recommendations. Thank you.
It's Alan speaking. I see absolutely no conflict between those two, and I certainly would not presume to say that because the bylaw says write a report, and we say write a report, that implies two reports. The two are rather synergistic, I would think. And we're simply saying that the reporting, let's not focus on the piece of paper, but the action, should measure, measure should consider both to what extent the implementation is meeting the intent and to what extent, in fact, is effective. So I don't think there's any conflict at all. We could even add a statement and say we think it's synergistic with the bylaw requirement for reporting on reviews. But I like the idea of adding something saying consider the to what extent this is meeting the intent. If you remember correctly, in the first review, the first Who Is review, there was great angst over one of the recommendations where, and I think it's, I don't remember which one it was, but they said, well, we can't do that. And then they went ahead and did something different, which is a good thing, meeting the intent. But there's never been in the reporting saying, are we satisfying the need? You know, there was assumption that if we planned to address the intent by doing something, it will work. Well, the real world doesn't always work that way. So
I like the idea of adding something, factor focusing on are we meeting the intent and is the actual implementation effective? And it certainly doesn't imply a separate report. How do people feel? Lily?
Lily, for the agree with you, Alan. The intention for this recommendation is definitely not ask for ICANN to produce a new report, a separate report. Even for the first WHO is reviews team's recommendation, there is no separate report for the implementation. It was part of the WHO is annual report. So what we are asking for is just for the all substantial or concrete element to be showed there about the implementation. And what Alan mentioned about is recommendation 9. That's about the metrics on the reduction of WHO is inaccuracies. It was clearly indicated in the planning action plan based on the WHO is one recommendation that it's not feasible. There is an assessment over there for this recommendation. It's not feasible. And then there is no, I remember that it was proposed the ARS project instead, but actually even for the ARS project, there is no like metrics on the WHO is inaccuracy reduction. There is no measurable way in the ARS project. So just the substantial element were missing all the way from the planning until the report stage.
I think we're having, I haven't heard any negative comments about adding a sentence to that effect. I mean, the reliance on the next review team to decide whether ICANN has wasted its time or used it properly and effectively, I think is rather poor management. 5 years is an awful long time. And it was 3 years when we started, it's now 5. So... have I phrased it well enough that we can add a sentence? Done. Next.
And we're now moving to anything new. So on anything new, there was just one comment. Thank you, Nika. On the
Did we respond to the last NCSG comment on the bottom? I'm not sure we did. Didn't respond to any of these, come to think of it. On the registry one, don't increase costs. Well, I can't promise we won't increase costs in a minor way. I'd like to think writing a report does not have a major effect on a $100-something million budget. I know Stephanie wants to speak. But I don't think we, at the same time, I don't think we can, misreading this. That says don't put new burdens on the registries. I don't think we are explicitly putting burdens on the registries. I can't promise that some future recommendation won't put a burden on a registry, but that's life. So,
Stephanie Perrin, for the record, I mean, I certainly support the RISIG comment there because metrics and metrics and tracking tools, impact evaluation, that all sounds like added response burden to me, and that's a cost for the registries. So, I guess the NCSG comment is directed towards continuous change management as you go through the phase between implementation reviews. If the world changes because you have new law that you have to accommodate, and yet you continue to measure things that, for instance, registrars, like you could spend your time measuring the output from registrar. at the moment, and that would be a waste of money because the GDPR has happened and the ones who are tuned in have cut back on their output in order to comply with law. So if you're continuing to track and monitor and do follow-up on things that are now required by law, you're wasting somebody's money, right? So change management implies an evaluation of your actual management plan as you go, and that's what we were driving at, and that's what I don't think the that's what I think you're trying to fix in the recommendation.
Okay. On the registry one, I don't believe that we are currently requiring registries to do anything which would require additional tracking. I can't promise that some recommendation in the future by some review team will not put additional requirements on a registry, but that, of course, can only be done through a PDP or contractual. Review teams are not in a position.
Stephanie Perrin again, but a management plan, you see.
We're talking about the registry comment.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm talking about that. I'm responding to your comment. A management plan would have metrics or methodology in place to measure the response burden. So if you are correct and there was zero response burden on registries, you have a problem. But if you're not measuring response burden, which and my take on ICANN's activities is they don't measure response burden, haven't seen any signs of it, then you may be imposing things that are, and that speaks to the NCSG comment, useless, and not bothering to measure the impact.
My point is, we as a review team cannot place responsibility on a contracted party. We have no ability, as has been pointed out multiple times in these comments, we have no ability to place burdens on a registry or a registrar. That can only be done through altering their contracts, which can be done through negotiations or a PDP.
I don't understand where that comment comes from, Alan. I mean, the recommendation regarding... Okay, let me read it. The ICANN board should ensure that implementation of blah, blah recommendations is based on best practice project management methodology. Okay, so who is implementing the best practice project management methodology?
ICANN.org.
ICANN.org, right. Ensuring that plans and implementation reports clearly address progress and applicable metrics and tracking tools are used for effectiveness and evaluation. Okay, who's doing that with the metrics and the tracking tools? ICANN.org, right. But what are they measuring and what are they following up on? They're measuring and following up on the deliverables that are currently in the, among other things, the accuracy requirements and the contractual requirements branch activities with the registries and registries, the contracted parties. So by encouraging ICANN.org to ensure best management practices, absent a specific call out to measure response burden on the impacted parties, we are adding workload. I mean, I recall vividly Elliot going to the mic after the RAA accuracy requirements were put in place, and yes, that is in the contract, but we're still, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about project management practices for measuring the impact of all these things. And it was a huge response burden with very little impact assessment. In other words, how many people got arrested? How many domain names were actually taken down for the right reason? That's just an example. I'm not saying we're talking about that specific requirement.
Are you finished? Microphone.
Done.
What I'm saying is there is nothing that we are doing to increase the burden. If ICANN decides that they need additional information from contracted parties to be able to do this, whatever reporting is applicable for any given recommendation, that would have to be done through a separate process. I cannot guarantee that nothing any future review team says will ultimately involve a burden on a contracted party. I do not have the to be able to do that. Clearly, a recommendation that everyone has to implement RDAP has a requirement. It doesn't necessarily have a reporting requirement. I just don't think that's a second-order effect that we are not in a position to measure.
Okay.
Can you
Stephanie Perrin
what
again.
Wording do you want? Would you want to see?
Well, impact evaluation. Maybe if we expanded impact evaluation and talked about response burden. So, period after impact evaluation. Impact evaluation, in keeping with ICANN's mandate, should ensure and evaluated in terms of goals. When you can price something out of the market by implementation of RDAP at the moment, it doesn't make any sense because you build something and when you don't know what the features are going to be, it doesn't make sense.
What are you requesting we do? Microphone, please.
Add a sentence amplifies the impact evaluation. The impact evaluation not being just greater accuracy for the benefit of third parties seeking data from ICANN, but response burden on the contracted parties that inevitably winds up with higher costs for end users.
Jackie, do you have enough handle to understand what it is that you're being asked to write? Because I still don't, but I'm not going to belabor because of my lack of understanding. Microphone, please.
This is Jackie. That doesn't mean I can't understand it eventually, but at the moment I do not.
Okay, Stephanie Perrin for the record. Supposing I take it offline and discuss with Jackie, come up with a sentence. It's easy enough. It's one line.
I honestly am not quite sure why adding this line to this recommendation is something that we should be doing, but I'm not going to belabor the discussion at this point. I don't feel comfortable with it that it's part of reporting on implementation of review team recommendations. I may be misunderstanding. If we look at the NCSG comment, I would like to presume, and maybe it is not presumable, if one is reporting on effectiveness or on a regular basis, if we come to the conclusion that we're working on something, we have put a huge effort into it, and it's proven to be not effective, we will not continue to do it by rote for the next 3 years, but we'll take some corrective action. I would like to think that that's implied in the evaluation of effectiveness, which state ICANN has said it's not their business. So we are suggesting a sea change in how ICANN
implementation of review team recommendations, certainly of who is recommendations. They're the only ones under our mandate, and I would like to think that that does address the NCSG comment. Carlton and then Stephanie.
Yeah, Carlton, for the record, one of the things that the IRTs have done now is to include members of refuse team in that team, which gives some guidance as to what was the intent of the recommendation. That was that is a result of these kinds of discussions that are there on in the program, where the intent of the recommendation itself might not have been readily apparent to the ICANN-ORG implementation people. So I believe that structurally, the implementation teams now have a basis to always refer intent in the implementation. So I think it's taken care of in that sense. That's my feeling on it.
I'm agreeing. And we certainly... review team, and we can mention that in the response to NCSG as well. And by the way, the reason we don't have Alice here is she's working on implementation type things right now. So we have had.
Is it my turn yet?
Oh, sorry. Yes.
Thank you. Stephanie Perrin, for the record. I totally agree that the IRTs can do this as long as the intent is clear. And my comment about how 15.1 currently reads like MBA 101 basics is that I'm not sure the intent is clear. By removing it up a generic recommendations, we're basically saying follow best management practices, blah, blah, blah. What do we actually mean? What we mean is, and that's why we got a little frustrated, cited page 84 and said, will ICANN continue to drive into the brick wall as it has in the past, as it continues to do now on some committees? It needs to undertake change management, evaluate the changing regulatory environment, et cetera, and know when to put something on hold with full reasoning explained. And so... yes, know when to hold them. Right.
I think the statement that we have agreed to add does address that.
Hopefully that's my goal, is to address my comment in the final statement.
Yeah. Nagar?
Open, please.
Thank you, Alan. Nagar, for the record. I know we've been talking about measuring the extent ICANN-ORG measuring the extent to which implementation addresses the or has resulted in the intended effect. I do, however, want to point out that in the bylaws, the new bylaws of ICANN, not just for RDS review but for all specific reviews, one of the mandatory items that each review team must undertake is worded as, the review team shall assess the extent to which prior review recommendations have been implemented and the extent to which implementation of such recommendations has resulted in the intended effect, clearly making it the review team's responsibility to assess the effectiveness of the implementation and whether the implementation met the intended effect. Obviously, I can recommendations. We do so with the intent of meeting what the recommendation is requesting, and it's up to the next review team to assess if that is the case. So I'm not sure how much value there is in writing the recommendation such that it says show metrics and tracking tools to assess the effectiveness and impact of the evaluation, because from our perspective, we are doing what we think we should to meet the intended effect of the recommendation, but obviously the review teams, future review teams, may not agree with that 100%.
your last point hit it exactly. Review team's responsibility to measure and to determine to what extent the intent was met and to what extent it was effective. It is not a review team's sole responsibility. The ICANN org has a responsibility to do it as well. It already says that in terms which are not 100% clear, perhaps, and we need to clarify that. And yes, the review team then does a sanity check and says, were they right? But not doing it, and I'm saying ICANN has never done it, but you know, if you look, for instance, at the WHOIS portal, you know, we are pointing out that yes, you implemented it, but because of certain failings in the design, it was not completely effective. That shouldn't have to wait for us to do. Stephanie.
This is not something jesting we embark upon at this stage in the game. I probably ranted about this at the first meeting I attended. Really, if we were doing a program evaluation in the review team, we would be evaluating, you know, what the intent was, as the bylaws, as Margaret just explained, as the bylaws tell us it's our job to do. So what was the intent? To what extent can we measure whether it was effective across those parameters? Effective for whom, for what? And then we would evaluate whether we should continue with a recommendation or not. And I don't think we've done that. And this is why I say I agree with the Reisig's comment. We've got to have the intent clear that whenever we ask for something, we also ask for a measurement of the response burden. That's a fiduciary responsibility. You don't throw more stuff at people without measuring the response burden. That's all. So I'll try and get that into my sentence.
For the record, certainly for the ones that I took responsibility for, what you described as what we should be doing is exactly what we did do. So it may well not have been done for everything, but it certainly was for some. I believe we're now finished the section again. Let's go on to the next one.
Thank you, Alan. We are now on anything new, and there was just one comment on this section, which is the following from NCSG. The inventory of activities, policies, and procedures will be useful to help guide the GNSO when it determines priorities for subsequent PDPs after the temporary specification is either dealt with or disappears in May 2019?
The answer is thank you.
And
any further discussion on anything new? Done.
All right, and it's 11:30. Normally, we're arriving at lunch break at this time in the agenda. So would you like to move on with law enforcement needs or consumer trust? Or would you like to leave time for everyone to work now? There is 1 hour.
I'm not sure the work that has to be done is uniform. I would suggest we press forward and hopefully adjourn earlier today to give people a bit of time.
That works.
Agreement? I see no objection.
All right, so we'll move on to law enforcement needs.
This is Catherine for the record. Just a note, I have to go and attend a farewell for a colleague at noon. So if we break at the proposed time for lunch, I would be missing part of the law enforcement needs one, I'm afraid. So perhaps we could pull up the consumer trust one, if that's okay for everyone, and then do law enforcement needs after lunch. Thanks.
Is that okay with you all? All right. So, consumer trust. On this section, we had one comment from business constituency where they support the view that for the purposes of these activities, consumer trust should not be restricted only to registrants, but must apply to all parties who consume domain names through registration and resolution services. This definition is better aligned with ICANN's domain name system remit, which spans domain name registration services and name resolution services. Limiting consumer trust to the registrant population of millions constrains the scope of consumer and trust, and we recommend that the team address this in its report. Access to accurate WHOIS data for legitimate purposes of addressing threats to the integrity of domains is clearly within ICANN's mission. We also recommend that ICANN through on its obligation to assess the level of consumer trust in the new regime of RDS, privacy proxy services, GDPR redacted data fields, and limited or rejected access to registration data. The question ICANN should ask and answer is, do these changes to WHOIS enhance consumer trust?
Erica, any comments to start with?
Yeah, I agree with the comment actually from the BCI. In particular, the last point, and we had a discussion about it in one of our exchanges about the topic, but we then came to the conclusion that maybe we shouldn't go too much into details about potential issues, which we can't really frame well. But when you, I like the last one, the question I can should ask and answer is, do these changes to WHOIS enhance consumer trust? So they that we pick up the topics mentioned here in the BC comment and we try to answer them appropriately. I don't think so we can make clear recommendation. I'm still not convinced that we can make recommendations, but maybe we come to the conclusion that we can do it, huh? But we can describe the issues better, and we can, insofar maybe we can help in the future whoever is working on this topic maybe to look into it in more details.
Thank you, Erica. I think the BC comment, I agree also, by the way, I think the BC comment is quite appropriate. The last part, you know, basically saying we should weigh in on the EPDP, I think we need to refrain from doing. But I like the fact that they have identified that it's a bifurcated issue. It's registrants on one side and and users on the other, and approaching it in our section with the two different sections, the two different perspectives, I think would be appropriate. I mean, a lot of what we have right now is really from the registrant side, and I think we need an increased focus from the from the user side of the impact. And, you know, it's interesting. Over the last year or two, I've asked a lot of people, what is, you know, what do you believe is the impact of, not the impact, the utility, whatever, of who is on users? And the answer always is, well, so I can look up who it is that, you know, is the company I'm dealing with. The reality, of course, is only an infinitesimally small fraction of users know about who is. And most of the time when you look it up, you find they're hidden by a privacy service anyway. So I really discount that as a major impact, but the use of who is by intermediaries is, in fact, I think one of the issues we have to raise and make that clear. So I like what they're saying. Volker.
Might be a bit of a heretic question, but I think we might even suggest that future review teams do not look into this topic because it's already part of the
remit of another review team, the I think it was the Consumer Trust and something review team, and therefore we might be agnostic about the who is in this respect and just relate that question for future review teams into that Consumer Trust review team because it fits more squarely into their remit.
I disagree. Two reasons. Number one, it's not clear there will be another CCT review. The AOC said there must be one after the first round. It's not clear there will be another. That's number one. Number two, they're looking at impact of new GTLDs on consumer trust. It had nothing necessarily to do with who is. So it really is a different thing. Now, I could almost live with saying let's delete this section and making a recommendation in the bylaw to delete this section altogether because I think it was originally there, you know, from a U.S. Department of Commerce concern that I'm not quite sure is greatly applicable. But I also am not sure I want to start a controversy of eliminating it. And but I do think we need to be more focused on this section. And so this section perhaps needs a little bit more rework of the actual text more than some of the other things. Eric and I have already discussed that, so I don't think we're in disagreement on it. Carlton?
Yeah, just emphasize the thing about a consumer trust review that you mentioned. The bylaw actually requires just one after the round, but it doesn't say that it should go on. The CCTRT structure is very limited and may not, but I will say this. In the CCT, we recognize that there's an ongoing trust element in terms of users on the user side. And what we recognize is that it's mostly about surrogates having access to the data that uses on behalf of users. So I think in the BC, and I'm agreeing with the BC here, that one of the things that we might wish to do is to emphasize the side about users and recognize that for the most part, it's a surrogates that access the data on behalf of users.
So no change in the recommendation. We acknowledge and agree with the comment, and we'll make some probably substantial change in the text, but still resulting in no recommendation. Agreed? We've done consumer trust now. Catherine, when do you have to leave at noon? Is there any chance of moving our dinner?
Well, but we can, if we do law enforcement needs as quickly, we'd be.
Well, let's. We have a half an hour. Let's start it and see where we go. Or a half an hour to an hour. Let's start until Catherine has to leave and see where we are.
Thank you. So we have 20 minutes to close this section.
We will not succeed, but let's start.
So we had received the following comments on the section itself from RRSG. The RR is the use of outside facilitators to draft and conduct surveys to ensure that results or questions are not biased towards the interest of any particular group. They note that only a selected number of law enforcement agencies, i.e. those that had a direct relationship with the GAC and members of the review team participated in the questionnaire, and so the results do not necessarily reflect the views of a full cross-section of national and local law enforcement agencies around the world.
I'd like to comment on this one, if I may.
Please.
This is Catherine for the record. Indeed, when it comes to the outreach, there were two limits that we faced. First of all, because of data protection concerns, there was a concern on the part of ICANN Legal that we could not just spam the world with this, but only were allowed to contact those who had already agreed to be contacted for such purposes. So that is what we did. And then there is an underrepresentation, in particular when it comes to the Global South. We took specific steps by reaching out through regional GAC representatives and other contacts that we had, for example, in the OAS, to try and improve the feedback from those regions. And Alice Munua, for example, also tried to reach out through the African Union Commission. But the fact of the matter is that just as we see less uptake of domain name registrations in that area, we also see much less law enforcement activity. And to find law enforcement in those areas which are, in a sense, involved enough in the issues to provide feedback on this proved extremely difficult, which I think is the same experience that has come up in many places. And so I don't think we were in a position to take measures to address the general issue that we have as a multi-stakeholder community with the representation of the Global South. So I think that's what we should represent, what we should explain there. When it comes to the drafting of the survey questions, while we didn't use our facilitators, we did work, of course, with the representation on the review team of the different ICANN parts of the community to make sure that the questions were not biased. So I'm a bit surprised at that comment, I must say, but I think we should, my proposal would be to respond that, namely that we did, as a representation of the community, we tried to formulate the questions in a non-biased manner, and that's as much as we could do at that point.
I'll note that to the extent that our recordings are time-stamped, this was 11:40 in the morning. If people want to go back to what Catherine said, I think Catherine captured pretty much all of it that should be embedded somewhere in that response.
Just a comment. I think this is more in reflection of any future reviews that we are recommending rather than the review that has already taken place. That's unchangeable already. That's already done.
But I think her answer, to some extent, counters the second question that, although we did it through people involved in the review and ICANN, we did go to other people outside through intermediaries.
So can I bridge the two? Because it is true that we went through all of the steps to get more involvement here, but as a practical matter, I can tell you for where we sit in Global South is that a lot of these issues for law enforcement is just now coming on stream because you have data protection laws and cybersecurity laws that are just being implemented now. I can tell you in the last 3 months, I've been across the Caribbean, being asked to speak on these issues. And in all of the Caribbean, through CARICOM and all that, there are probably about 3 lawyers who actually even asked a question about data protection and cybersecurity. We have a cybersecurity team in the police force, and it's a liaison on one person. So they're building now. And so for the future review teams, you'd probably have better standing, Catherine, to get some response from that. And as Volker says, maybe what we need to do is to put something in here that shows that we've made the effort, and here's what we're recommending for follow-up review teams.
Erica?
Erica Mann. I agree with the comments made. There's one other issue which I'm working on a totally separate, different case, to gather information, how much information actually law enforcement requests, because they only can operate if they have a case, a viable case. Otherwise, they pretty much can't even do it. Now, there's certain units on cybercrime unit which can be more operating on preventive measures and terrorist threat units, but these are very particular cases. But the bulk so internet companies, and they use, of course, the WHOIS data to prevent and identify potential misuse or potential harm which can be done, and they can do this, and they will only inform, of course, law enforcement in case there's a real imminent threat happening. So we haven't captured this kind of intergame really well.
That, of course, falls onto the next recommendation. Catherine?
Just to say, indeed, of course, I mean, now we're dealing with the law enforcement needs, right? That's what's in the bylaws. And what we did suggest and what I argued for at the previous face-to-face meetings was that we should consider expanding this survey to include other parts of the community which are not reflected in the bylaws, but which, as you rightly point out, play a key role in this ecosystem. So I fully agree with that. They do the main work, especially when it comes to the prevention, but you need both sides because without law enforcement action, you can only just build higher walls and you don't have any effect. So that's why we added in the second recommendation related to law enforcement this idea to expand the survey. But we'll come to that on the second recommendation. Let's maybe cover the next comments on this one.
No, but let's go on to the recommendation itself.
All right. On LE1, board should resolve that regular data gathering through survey and studies are to be conducted by ICANN to inform a future assessment of the effectiveness of RDS WHOIS in meeting the needs of law enforcement, as well as future policy developments, including the current temporary specification for GTLD registration data, expedited policy development process, and related efforts. First comment is from the I2C. They strongly support initiatives to solicit feedback from a broader cross-section of law enforcement.
What is I2C?
It's the Internet Infrastructure Coalition, if I recall. That's the group that Volker mentioned, that is the international equivalent of second comment from OSG. They support this recommendation, but cautions that ICANN should not conflate surveys with more rigorous studies. Surveys often result in a response bias, where only those parties interested in a certain topic take respond to the survey. ICANN should seek out ways to ensure that it is gathering data from a broad and truly representative cross-section of law enforcement to understand how RDS data does or does not meet their needs. Furthermore, ICANN must ensure that any studies or surveys directed to contracting parties are either voluntary or based on an explicit requirement in the parties' agreements with ICANN. And user comment from business constituency, we found the law enforcement survey conducted by the team to be useful as it only provided insight into law enforcement needs regarding RDS WHOIS, but also gave us preliminary understanding of whether GDPR was likely to have an impact on meeting those needs. We support the conduct of additional surveys and research in this vein. Should I pause for now?
If I may react, this is Catherine again. I think all those comments make sense, and we should just take them on board in suggesting that the possible way is forward. We can add a couple of sentences in the rationale to say that in response to comments, here's some further suggestions on how to expand the survey size and make sure that it's based on a robust methodology. When it comes to whether surveys or studies are better or I don't think they're you're comparing apples and oranges. I mean, surveys tell you about a need of a specific population. You cannot, of course, draw policy conclusions from surveys per se, but I don't think anybody was suggesting that, including us. So maybe we can add a sentence to clarify that this is a survey and not a study. Understand that there's limitations, and I'm happy to work with Jackie on refining the text.
I'll point out their actual recommendation doesn't say just do surveys, it says surveys and studies. We had a certain amount of insight, I guess. Volker?
This is a separate comment, not reflecting anything in the comments, just a thought that I just had late in the game, but do we have any measures in our survey that differentiate actual needs from wants and nice to have.
Well, I mean, this is Catherine. I think in any case, however you formulate it, there's always an issue with whether what is represented is a need, a want, a wish, a desire, or whatever. From what we tried to do in the questions was to basically say, based on operational experience, and to link it to concrete cases. So it wasn't just, you know, if on morning I had more time to go and hunt down people on the internet, I would like these additional tools. It was linked to concrete cases, and that was our way of trying to make sure that it wasn't just some random exercise.
Stephanie?
And maybe we have enough depth in here already, Stephanie Perrin, for the record. I think that was that's the reason to discuss studies, because if you get a legal expert to go in and do a study, I'm thinking of like a Dowie, can't pronounce his name, you know, to look at whether actually what you're doing is legal and whether the right people are filling it out and all the rest of it. That's one thing. As a former bureaucrat that got stuck doing all the OECD studies because I went to the OECD, trust me, it's very hard when you get these surveys landing on your desk to fob it off to somebody else, and you may not be the person that should be filling it out. You just may be the one that got tagged to fill it out, right? So as a concrete methodology, I think is problematic for a whole bunch of reasons. And the Global South problem is a whole other separate problem. But then we know that we're not going to get response even if we send in a legal expert, because there's no time to do it. It's just not a priority to act on these kinds of things. So you don't need to spend money finding out it isn't happening. You know it isn't happening, right? So, I think studies, maybe we ought to emphasize studies more in this than trying to come up with better surveys just for the short term, because we know pretty well the state of cybercrime enforcement and the public sector, private sector cooperation at this point. And it needs to get better. And sadly, I think, speaking as a victim of the EPDP process, law enforcement hasn't focused enough on the opportunity to use the provisions in the EPDP to get better law enforcement in place. You know, there's an opportunity there for standards for some of this stuff, particularly in the matter of data breach. Oh, yeah, they're like... security side up at the same time. It's certainly in there.
This is Catherine. I could spend an hour now on the GDPR and EPDP part, which I will not do, just to pick up on the points you made relating to the survey and the study. I mean, we now put them at the same level, which I think is appropriate, because I think you do need both. You need to understand what the user experience is, and then you can do studies. And the legal aspects, I think, for me, are an entirely different issue. Our task under the bylaws is to identify the needs of law enforcement and whether the WHOIS implementation is meeting those needs. That's a very specific task. It's not about assessing the whole legal shebang and everything around it. It's really that. And that's what I think a survey was well designed to do. And we have recognized the point that studies would be helpful in the future, which is why we put them there. So I think the recommendation can stand as it was put here. And in the rationale, we can add some language distinguishing surveys from studies and explaining a bit more about why, under our task given to us by the bylaws, we believe that what we have done responds to our task, and that, of course, I agree to further elaborate on this and also change the overall setting if they so choose.
Thank you. I'll point out we had a $200,000 budget to do studies. This is one of the few areas that it may well have been well used if this was a two-year review team and we had the luxury of somewhere around last July deciding to commission a study. Well, the window for doing studies was closed long before that. So we did what we did. I agree that the one word of use is here may be overwhelmed by the discussion of the survey, and we may well want to look at the text and make sure that we are stating in the text what we've said here, of they serve different purposes and yada, 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 yada. So I think that may well be warranted. Next comment. Oh, okay. Do we have all right. I think we can address the registry comment. Let's go on to the next one. No, let's stick with the BC. I don't think we've answered this. on law enforcement.
Alan, I think, this is Catherine, I think we did try, I think I tried to address all three together because they're supporting, and I think they can just help us refine the rationale.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, just wanted to mention that there is another supporting comment, and I hope you addressed it too, which is from ALAC. They support the recommendation, particularly after finalization of registrant data policies. The ALAC can agree with the recommendation to continuously monitor the impact of who is RDS related, but it is unclear to the ALAC how surveys and data gathering are to lessen the potential negative consequences of law enforcement work.
Well, I don't think they have a direct impact. The surveys and studies may allow us to recognize that we have to make changes. If those changes are made, that would lessen the impact. But that's a multi-stage project.
All right. Next phone is from RRSG. Law enforcement agency needs in the past often seem to go beyond the scope of RDS services provided by contracted parties and relied on the use of third-party data mining, data scrapping services, so surveys may not correctly reflect the effectiveness of RDS services alone.
This is Kath. Yes, we did reflect that in the survey, of course, because we distinguished between direct access from registries and registrars-based services and the WHOIS portal, and third-party tools such as the domain tools service, for example. And we did specifically highlight this also in that section of the review, because we refer to the fact that a lot of law enforcement agencies basically seem to think there isn't a problem because they can still use tools such as domain tools but don't realize the data is now out of date. So we have specifically addressed this in the survey, but they do have a very good point. Of course, if in the law enforcement views this is completely conflated, the services that are provided by the registries and registrars and the services that are provided by third-party companies, then, of course, in the future, the picture will look very different. And that's, of course, why we thought to rerun the survey or at least recommend that it is run again, because then that distinction would have become clearer to law enforcement. We would get clearer feedback on just the RDS services provided by the contracted parties, who soon will be the only ones in a position in such services. I propose we take this on board and say that it indeed should be addressed in future iterations.
Volker?
Yeah, I agree. And just to provide some background, there's long been the impression with the registrars, especially fortified by comments made by law enforcement at ICANN meetings, that request ICANN give them back reverse WHOIS search and all that, those nice features that these third parties services provided, but never were part of the original WHOIS setup. So I think it's important to point that out and make that distinction between what is actually in the WHOIS service and what were services obtained by third parties that were usable by and quite beneficial for law enforcement but weren't part of the original WHOIS setup, were something that the WHOIS was never designed to do but was available as packaged service.
So on the DNRC one, Jean-Baptiste, do you want to read it out? Or?
With pleasure. If this recommendation is kept,
domain name rights coalition asks that it is expanded to include data protection authorities, as ICANN must be in a position to receive comprehensive information about the full and complex situation, to learn how the laws are evolving and what compromises are being reached domestically. However, they recommend to delete the recommendation, considering ICANN's new bylaws require only periodic review of the legitimate needs of law enforcement, not regular, meaning done frequently, thus avoiding continuous or near-continuous cycle of expensive and time-consuming surveys. Any future surveys need to explore all sides of these complex issues from all law enforcement and related parties involved, but only on a periodic basis.
I could be a devil's advocate and ask Stephanie in her previous life, does she believe we should be surveying data protection authorities? they're suggesting that we don't only survey law enforcement, but also survey data protection authorities. I'm asking you, would you welcome more surveys in your previous life? I'm saying that. That's why I tongue-in-cheek asked you. If we can go to Catherine first and then Volker.
So this is Catherine for the record. I mean, I think we're, again, we have a task under the bylaws, which is to ensure that law enforcement needs are met by the current implementation of the WHOIS. And that, I guess, is there because there is a recognition that at the level of the organization, this should be an activity to engage in. So I think what we have set out here in the specific scope, and I recollect that we also had discussions on whether to include cybersecurity at all, is what we need to do here. But, of course, that doesn't mean that a legal circumstance is ignored. I think that was the purpose of our recommendations one, which basically relates to the strategic priority and the need to have a forward-looking mechanism to take account, and we're not talking about recommendation law enforcement one, but our first recommendation, which basically seeks to have this analysis of the legal framework performed at a higher level. And we don't think this should be done through surveys necessarily. I mean, here that's really a better place to use studies and to continuous staff involvement and monitoring, as we've suggested under the first set of recommendations. So I would propose that for this one, we say, yes, we fully acknowledge. Of course, law enforcement is not the only relevant stakeholder in this. However, for the purposes of this particular part of the bylaws, it is. This is what we're setting out for law enforcement needs and what we're setting out for the data protection and other relevant legislation is what we did in the strategic priority one.
And I've got me in the queue, Stephanie and Volker. Okay. My response to the comment about the bylaws only requiring reviews every 5 years is that is indeed correct. But this review is suggesting that we must keep track of things on a more granular basis than every 5 years, thus our recommendation. That doesn't discard the fact that it must be done every 5 years also. Stephanie?
Yes, Stephanie Perrin for the record. I didn't actually realize you asked me to comment on recommendation, so I kind of blew that away jokingly. But in fact, many data protection authorities are involved as overseers in cybersecurity and law enforcement activities. So, for instance, I was on the task force that developed the anti-spam law in Canada, and the commissioner has an ongoing role. The commissioner audits our Financial Crimes Reporting Act all the time. It's a regular requirement. So many data protection authorities have an ongoing role, and they certainly are regularly engaged with law enforcement in terms of the legal nature of their activities, and with companies as well in terms of what they do in terms of handing over cases to law enforcement. So it's not a crazy idea to also pull data protection authorities so that you get a balanced view and often pragmatic advice on how to do this. So maybe we need to take this on board a little more seriously. I see you shrugging. You don't like that idea.
No, no. I'm questioning whether it's within our scope to make that recommendation.
Why would it be out of scope? Data protection authorities are constituted by governments. The fact that the GAC doesn't bring them on their delegations, and they do bring the public safety.
That is not.
Law enforcement needs includes
scope.
Enforcement of data protection law.
Okay. My question is it our and ICANN's responsibility to, in looking at law enforcement needs, directly consult with the data protection, or should that be done on a national basis themselves? That's the question I'm asking.
The bylaws talk about law enforcement needs. So does our mandate. Law enforcement needs include data protection law. We consult law enforcement investigative authorities and not consult data protection investigative authorities.
Doesn't that
go to Chris and then Volker?
Sorry. I don't necessarily disagree with you, Stephanie, but doesn't that analysis therefore mean that trademark law sits in exactly the same position? And that therefore that the enforcement of trademark law is also included in this section?
Okay. I think Stephanie is quite right when she points out that, for example, under the GDPR, but also on other legislations, privacy data protection officials are law enforcement officials. The definition in this question that we has been put to us did not differentiate what kind of law enforcement officials we are looking for, the needs are being looked for. It is clear that whoever put this question up meant a very certain section of law enforcement, but it didn't. Now, trademark law enforcement protection, that's not official, that's private. There's no governmental law enforcement, trademark law enforcement protection agency, but there is for data privacy laws. Now, we should recognize that there is law enforcement needs on the privacy data protection officials, but we should also maybe point out that when the question was formulated, this was not the question they were thinking of. And also, a survey designed for data protection law officials might be very different from a survey that's sent out to criminal law enforcement agencies, because they would be asked different questions what their needs are, because their needs are totally different. And therefore, we stand before the crossroads of either expanding that question to the linguistics of what it means and ensuring that two surveys are being put out for different laws that are being enforced, or that the question is concentrated to criminal law enforcement, but we then point out that this question needs to be phrased correctly for follow-up reviews.
I would suggest we may want a second bylaw recommendation that I can clarify what kind of law enforcement they are talking about, or not clarify and leave it to each review team to decide. Chris?
So again, stressing that I don't disagree. This is, you have to be extremely careful here. I mean, if you wanted to draw a distinction and say trademark is, which I accept, is a different, what about consumer rights? I mean, you could argue that the consumer trading standards offices or whatever they're called in each different countries have an equal level of rights to the privacy TPS. It depends on the country. So all I'm saying is we need to be, I'm going to stop here, is we just need to be extremely careful that we don't just willy-nilly expand the definition of what we mean.
We are at the last face-to-face meeting, our planned last face meeting and our hoped last face-to-face meeting, and plan to issue this review literally in weeks from now. I think it's a bit late for us to reinterpret law enforcement. I believe our response to this one is we have interpreted law enforcement as criminal law enforcement, and I also believe we should put a recommendation under the bylaw one that this be clarified for future reviews, or allow the review to decide on its own each time which law enforcement is talking about. I see no more hands. Next comment.
sorry, but since I actually do have to go because I'm already late, so maybe we can do this after the lunch break, or you continue?
Let's continue and do a quick run through, and then we'll review and you give you an opportunity when you come back. Enjoy your lunch. Enjoy doing your duty in lunch. Jean-Baptiste?
So last one is from NCSG. We fail to see why ICANN should conduct studies to determine whether third parties are achieving their desired results in accessing registrant data. By all means, this relatively well-funded area of internet business, referring here to the security community that acts to safeguard the internet for commerce, may present survey data to ICANN, the compliance department and the ESAC, but in a time of falling revenues and new compliance costs related to the GDPR, we think this recommendation should be withdrawn. In the interest of transparency, the NCSG requests that the cost of the current survey be included in the report. Surveys are, but they are not cheap if properly done.
All right, I'll take it. Number one, the reference to law enforcement safeguarding the internet for commerce, I believe, is quite inappropriate in that I suspect we can provide evidence that a major focus of internet-related law enforcement is not for commerce. It's not protecting commerce, but protecting people. I'm not sure we want to go into that depth here, but we may want to comment on that.
You can't blow it off.
Allow me to defend the statement, internet business referring here to the security community that acts to safeguard the internet for commerce. They act, they're hired by business to protect their websites. Yes, they're protecting people. They're protecting people from identity theft. They're also protecting the flow of commerce. You know? Come on.
This is a recommendation saying ICANN conduct surveys and studies on law enforcement, which are government agencies.
Well, yes, but we recommended, part that we're responding here is the extension of the recommendation to expand to
that's actually the next recommendation.
LE2. People want to conduct discussions, please use your microphones. If you want to keep me out of it, just keep your microphones off. Further comments on this one?
I believe we did this because we were instructed to by the bylaws, and we did not choose to explicitly not do it in our terms of reference.
Volker. I mean, I'm sympathetic to the funding and financing aspect of this response. I agree also with Alan that there is a certain obligation that ICANN needs to ensure that who is actually fulfills a certain need and is not something that's done for its own purpose. Therefore, I also agree that there's a need for such study if they're done right. There's a bit of a conflict there. And maybe we should just recognize that if there are already existing studies in there, in the world, or done by other organizations, that these be taken into account in subsequent rounds, just to make sure that no duplicate work exists. For example, if there's already a study doing research in A, then we don't need to do the same study again just because we feel we have to do it. So if other organizations already conduct these studies and this data is available, then yes, we should use that, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't do studies in the first place. It just means that we might be able to cut back on scope if certain questions are already answered.
I mean, we should do it intelligently. Radical idea. May I ask, to what extent was MSSI involved in this survey? To what extent was MSSI involved in this survey that we did?
Nigar, for the record, my understanding is that we had helped organize and prepare for the survey, but our involvement was just to that extent, and to collect the data.
Are you prepared to put a number on that? Number of hours that were MSSI staff that was involved in it. We don't have to put a dollar number on it, I don't think.
We can try to look into it. I don't have guarantees that we would be able to provide feasible numbers, but we can look into it.
I wouldn't suggest you put a huge effort into it, too. You shouldn't spend more time figuring out how much time you spent than you spent. we were asked a question if we can get up, come up with an answer. Largely, the survey was done by volunteers, however. Anything further on the NCSG question or comment? Next, then.
Next one is the following recommendation on law enforcement needs. The ICANN board should consider extending and conducting such surveys studies as described in previous recommendation to other RDS who is users working with law enforcement on a regular basis. Starting with two supporting comments. First one from business constituents.
Before we continue, I'll remind people we spent a near infinite amount of time refining that last sentence to try to capture the group we were talking about and not use words that generated additional sensitivities. So just reminding the group. Please go ahead.
So first comment is from constituency. We found the law enforcement survey conducted by the team to be useful, as it not only provided insight to law enforcement needs regarding RDS needs, but also gave us preliminary understanding of whether GDPR was likely to have an impact on meeting those needs. We support the conduct of additional surveys and research in this vein. Comment from ALAC. They support recommendation, particularly after finalization of registrant data policies. The ALAC can agree with the recommendation to continuously monitor the impact of RDS-related developments, but it isn't clear to the ALAC how surveys and data gathering are to lessen the potential negative consequences of law enforcement work.
I would say the only way that they do that is their results may cause entities to take action which may enhance law enforcement activities. There is no direct connection. It depends on the details. Such enhancements may not be possible. No comments. Let's
no
go
comments.
Ahead.
Okay. Next one is from I2C. Internet Infrastructure Coalition finds the language of this recommendation quite vague and invites the review team to clarify which RDS and what regular basis mean and solicits additional input. Next one is from NCSG.
Excuse me. Do we need to define what RDS is in this case?
I understand the vagueness of the next phrase, but as I pointed out, that's one we agonized over and came out with something that was not wholly objectionable to everyone or to anyone, not wholly satisfying to anyone either, for that matter. So I think our answer is RDS we can define for them, and the regular basis was our best attempt at identifying a group of people who often work in conjunction with law enforcement, but not on a formal basis.
The next comment from NCSG. If law enforcement bodies wish to conduct surveys, ICANN should, within reason, cooperate. However, this recommendation should be rewarded to clarify who pays for the research. Given the current state of flux in GDPR compliance, no action on surveys of law enforcement satisfaction should be taken until the state of registrant data access is stabilized.
All right, the last part is easy to address because we expect any action to be taken on our report until the beginning of 2020 at the earliest. And do we say we'd like to think things are sort of stabilized by then? Do we dare? I don't see how we can survive if we don't have something semi-stabilized by that point. I'm not sure how we get there. Stephanie?
Do you want me to respond to that?
I can't stop you.
Well, you were looking in my direction.
Nor do I want to.
I think it is not a given that no one will respond to this recommendation until 2020. If you make a recommendation for further law enforcement surveys, there may be added pressure immediately to start doing them. That's certainly been the case in the past. Whether things are going to be stable in 2020, I think that my betting is that we will not have a stable outcome from the EPDP until we have some court cases to make binding decisions on us, because I don't see us coming to consensus anytime soon. Maybe I'm being unduly pessimistic. No. So, in which case, it'll take till 2020, although the German courts, I have to say, are moving a lot faster than I ever thought they could, but the European Court of Justice will not move that quickly. Thanks.
I read stabilized is not from the point of view of, you know, tested under courts of law, but that we've decided what we plan to do, and then the world unfolds as it may. So that's the way I interpreted stabilized in any case. In terms of who pays for it, I don't know how to respond to that. We certainly can't mandate that ICANN ensure that other people pay for do surveys and other people pay for them. That's outside of the board's remit for us to recommend. I now have a speaker cue, if I may finish. And on Stephanie's comment on nothing's going to happen, well, you can't stop pressure, but at this point the board will almost certainly not take action until June, July at the earliest. They may choose to push it down to less than 6 months to meet the June meeting, but that's optimistic, and we've already heard from NAGAR that that's likely to result in at least 6 months of detailed planning before any action is taken. So yes, someone may push to do something quicker, but it's not really acting on our report. It's just the ideas in someone's head. So I don't think we can defer action because someone may like the idea. Stephanie and
Stephanie Barron, for the record, but we shouldn't waste time debating your opinion on whether somebody's going to act and my opinion on whether somebody's going to act. It's not in the recommendation per se. I was merely responding to your response to me that nothing would happen until 2020. But let's not waste time further on that. My opinion of the EPDP is that we are not going to have a stable product at the end. We may very well have the temp spec lapsing, and we'll be in no man's land. So that's what I meant by unstable, and just clarifying that. Okay. Now, in terms of who pays, I think it is well within our remit if we're making sort of a blanket recommendation for further studies and surveys, then we should be clear on whether we're recommending that ICANN do this or ICANN hire people, because as a result of WHOIS activity in the past, spent a lot of money on studies. And that's really where our remark is targeted there. I'm not sure the cybersecurity industry is quite well funded. I don't see that ICANN should be paying for cybersecurity studies. That's where this particular comment is directed. You know, why should ICANN pay for Symantec to do a study, you know, or see the effectiveness? Just saying.
We'll give to Chris first and then to Volker.
So just a couple of things. First of all, this recommendation is that the board should consider extending. So it doesn't tell us to do it. It tells us to consider it. So we wouldn't have any trouble whatsoever in accepting this recommendation as it stands, because we're always happy to consider things. But secondly, and perhaps far more importantly, irrespective, if the board decides it wants to conduct surveys on Z, it will do so. It's got nothing whatsoever to do with whether a recommendation is made. If this review team is saying do this, then say do it. But what you're actually asking us to do is to consider doing it, which I think is fine, and I don't see any issue with the recommendation. As for who pays for it, well, then if you wanted to change it, you could say consider extending and conducting such surveys, you know, at cost of others. But that's not going to stop the board if it thinks it's worthwhile doing a survey, doing it. It's because it doesn't need this recommendation. Thanks.
We have Volker and then me.
Well, thank you, Chris. That's part of the comment I was trying to make, because this is not an order but a consideration, and you might consider this in 5 minutes and deny it. But to put a button on something that Stephanie said, a lot of these operatives that would be included in this consideration under this language are for-profit organizations that are providing a service and make money doing that service. And I'm very, very hesitant to spend on lobbying for profit organizations, because that is part of what this service survey will present. These are for-profit organizations. They will have needs that will be based on their bottom lines and the services that are provided to third parties. But basically, their bottom lines are, because they're for organizations, their main concerns. And any surveys that are extended to them for whatever purpose will be skewed towards benefiting that bottom line, so they will turn out to be at least influenced by lobbying concerns and commercial interests. And I am very hesitant to spend money on that, or so even to suggest spending money on that.
I guess my position is that we continually talk about ICANN making decisions based on facts, on knowledge, and not random perceptions of one person versus another. And since WHOIS will continue to be a subject that we are discussing here, GDPR is not going to be the only legislation on privacy. There are going to be other aspects that change over the years, and I think if we need to be informed about how this information is being used or how it affects communities, then we may want to commission studies or surveys to try to understand that better before making decisions. It doesn't commit us to doing it, and certainly if we are looking at surveying things directly related to for-profit companies, which is I don't think is intuitively obvious, but it might be, then we do that with due understanding of the impact. So I think it's something that we're saying consider it. It may allow us to make better informed decisions, and I think it's a completely reasonable thing to do in that context. Do we have any further comments? Stephanie.
Okay, so you don't think our comment is worth incorporating into this recommendation. Is that the final word? That is bringing up cost on every single recommendation, but ICANN is in an environment of falling revenues. It just had to dip into the auction proceeds funds to shore up the reserve. I think it is part of our responsibility to not make recommendations without at least cautioning on who's going to pay for it or, you know, cost is an issue. And as Volker summed up our concerns rather well, we could survey existing by the private sector quite cheaply because everybody knows Krebs and every man and his dog has had a survey out there about how they need who is. We don't need to spend $300K on a survey ourselves.
I have no problem adding a clause saying factoring in cost-benefit analysis. If that gives you a higher level of comfort, I would like to assume the board would consider that, period, but I'm happy to put it in the specific words.
If I may respond to that, the board has a pretty good history of responding in a positive way to GAC recommendations, and I am confident that GAC will be looking for more data on this matter. And therefore, if you're going to have a fight with the GAC over IGO, INGO, and you're going to have Amazon out there, what better way to have a positive response to their communique than to will fund another study? So I think it's not responsible to just leave it up to the board without giving them some guidance from our committee.
Then we add a clause, factory and cost-benefit analysis. Done.
So the two other comments are from DNRC and RSG. First one is, this recommendation should be deleted as it is untimely and has the potential to run roughshod over the work of the EPDP. It is also unclear whether other RDS WIS users working with law enforcement can legally access personal and sensitive domain information data under the GDPR Convention 108. And the over 100 national laws which govern data protection. Issues connected to law enforcement access to RDS data, including gatekeeping questions of how law enforcement should be defined, should only be determined by the EPDP.
Okay, let's try to take this part by part. There's an implication what we recommend or what the surveys say will end up in something counter to various privacy laws, and I think that's a given, is that everything is subject to privacy law. So
I don't think we're running roughshod over the EPDP. We're not making any recommendations. We're simply saying understand the environment. And as I said, I hope the EPDP will be over by then, but Lord only knows. I have a hard time relating this particular comment to what the recommendation is saying. Maybe someone else can elaborate.
I think the second part, at least, seems to inquire the of these needs that might be forthcoming as under data protection laws. I mean, the environment has changed to favor data privacy over the needs of such providers, and while they may claim or rightly say that they have certain needs to further their work, these needs may be in conflict with data privacy laws and therefore should be disregarded. At least that's how I read that.
Yeah, certainly defining law enforcement, my understanding is various privacy legislation defines law enforcement. The EPDP is not going to define law enforcement. Under GDPR, law enforcement is governed by a separate section altogether, and I don't think it's us who decide. Stephanie?
I think this recommendation isn't particularly elegantly worded, but Volker is probably right. What they're trying to get at here is that our recommendation doesn't bother making a distinction as to whether this third-party exchange that we want to survey is, in fact, legal and we should leave it to the EPDP. Well, the EPDP isn't going to make that determination. The data protection authorities are. It seems to me if you wanted to get at that, you would then make sure that we consulted the protection authorities on the legality of this at the same time. That would be a better recommendation if you're trying to address that point. But I didn't draft this recommendation, obviously, so understanding it is a little difficult.
Again, aren't we recommending that we obtain an understanding of how well groups believe they are served, not necessarily determining what we do with that data or how it affects the outcomes? Certainly, we won't have any surveys done while the EPDP is still running, not if the expedited has any meaning close to what I think it does. Others?
Stephanie, again, I think this recommendation kind of conflates in error what we're driving at. We are going to the third parties that work with law enforcement, so the Symantecs and the Rod Rasmussens of the world, and we are asking them whether their needs are being met through the who is or whatever's public. And I think that is valid. You know, I'm not questioning the validity of that, but these guys are questioning the validity. They're saying that may not be legal and it's up to the EPDP to do that. No. The sharing of data may be a legal issue, but the accessing of data in the who is not a legal issue once we have a who is that is legally compliant, right? So presumably we would not be asking, we would not be surveying. In other words, they've leapt to the conclusion that the third parties are going to say we're not getting the data that we used to get in who is, which is possibly true. But we're not implying that we're going to fix that and allow them to illegally get data anymore. You know what I mean? I think that's where this is headed off the rails.
We may also be in the world when we do the survey that by that time we will have settled on accreditation, and these people are getting the data they want. Yeah. The skies can open and all sorts of marvelous things can happen. Pardon me? So all we're saying is we need to understand if there, is there an issue, and then we can look at is there a way to fix the issue. The answer may well be tough. It was a nice world you used to live in. You're not living in that world anymore. We don't have it within our power to change that. You know, parents can say that all the time. So they're presuming outcomes from these surveys, which I don't think are at all reasonable. That they're presuming that we are going to act and we're going to bow down to them and say, oh, you need that? Yes, we'll magically make it happen even though it's against the law. That's not going to happen.
Well, you can say that, but I think the point is that they are conflating in their comment, and whether we're not here to predict outcomes, but I don't think we need to respond that way.
How would you respond to it? We have to respond to it.
I would respond to them by saying we are not clear as to how your comment responds to the possibility of polling the third parties that are not law enforcement agencies. We are not proposing non-compliance with law, we are proposing assessment of needs. Okay?
Thank you, Stephanie. I hope it's been captured. Appreciate it. Next. I know we are past lunchtime, but is this the last one?
Oh, yes, and the lunch is gone now.
Okay. Cute.
Yes, that's the last one. Are RSG questions against? Yes. The expansion of such a survey to third parties that have not been empowered by regulation or statute with legal enforcement or investigatory powers and legal rights is highly dubious, as the legitimacy of such parties is not equal to that of LEAs, even though they may provide useful services.
Stephanie?
I have to say that's a more elegant way of wording the thought that the DNRC had expressed.
Thank you.
I'm not sure. I think the same comment does apply. Their players, whether they are duly empowered under the law or not, and most of them aren't, but some of them are. I mean, some of them would have no problem being authenticated because they have been duly authorized by a law enforcement agency to act. But that would be the minority, I'm betting. You know? I don't think APWG, for instance, shares its data with an appropriate mandate, and I've been snooping on them.
Booker?
Maybe just to clarify, because we discussed this, I don't think question here is, the comment here is trying to say, don't ask them. But it's rather the part of the recommendation that says expand the quest survey to that is taking that is taken issue with as this would in the mind of many the RSG conflate these third party services with law enforcement agencies, and well, they're separate entities with separate rights and responsibilities, and treating them the same or including them in a survey that's directed at law enforcement would confer the idea that they are the same, which they're not, and that they should be treated differently. if they are so to be surveyed, that it should be in a different survey. The results should be spread across. It should be made clear that law enforcement have their needs and party services may have their needs, but they're not the same, even if the needs are the same. Because law enforcement have rights, they are empowered under statutes, and these parties have nothing. They're empowered by contracts with third parties that they serve.
The wording of the recommendation was ICANN board should consider extending and conducting such surveys and or studies to other users working with law enforcement on a regular basis. I don't think the intention of the recommendation was say take the same surveys with the same questions, because indeed the mandates and tools they have available are very, very different. And the laws under which they may access data are very different. Stephanie?
The use of the word extending then is problematic, because in extending, the way I read it, implies enlarging the pool.
I think the intent, and we'll wait for Catherine to get back, but I think the intent was extend the concept of surveys and studies, not necessarily...
Stephanie again, but I mean... The purpose of our recommendations is to be clear. So if there has been any ambiguity here and the RSIG doesn't get it and the DNRC doesn't get it, then we need to clarify.
That's why I was saying what I was saying. I think the word extending and such surveys implies that it's easy to see how people can construe we're saying send the same surveys. And clearly that is not what we would do. The reason we're saying extend, that is extend the pool that we are looking at, is we well understand that, you know, if you're looking at how cybersecurity issues are addressed, things only get to law enforcement typically when it's become obvious that it's a criminal event or something law enforcement has the powers to investigate. But a lot of the preliminary work is only going to get done if it's gets done by non-law enforcement groups, and we're saying these non-law enforcement elements have a critical role to play in cybersecurity, that we should understand the impact to them as well. I think we need to reword it to make it really clear that we're saying, and maybe the preamble too, to make it clear that these are important components in addressing cybersecurity issues. They are not equivalent to law enforcement, and in fact, they do things that law enforcement can't, because they're simply, law enforcement only acts when there's a belief of a criminal act, with very few exceptions. They do have investigative roles in a few areas. So I think this is pointed out that need to reword this recommendation to make it really clear what extend and such means. And I think both words need to be avoided. Go ahead, sorry.
Could you just go to the previous slide with the recommendation? And Alan, you're quite right. I mean, law enforcement also has preventative capabilities. They can act in order to prevent criminal acts from occurring as well. And that should be read. Will conduct such surveys. Should consider to also conduct such surveys. Comparable surveys, exactly. I think that would already alleviate the concerns of the RSG completely here.
Good point. I mean, one of the reasons we ask for comments is people may actually have salient important comments to make. We're done, I think. Lunch, 1 hour.